Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is October 15th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which of course you can do by going to motivitality.com and looking at the archives, or subscribing to Motivitality on whatever podcast application that you choose to use. I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week here in a second, but I did want to mention a couple things first. First off, we do have, we started when we send out our emails on, we did this yesterday actually, we sent out an email about the about this call, and there's a new forms submission on our emails, which gives you a way to make suggestions for topics. And we got one back, and so in the coming weeks, and I've got to do some research on this so that I can actually put together a call and maybe even make it one of our expert series and see if I can get a guest speaker to talk about this. We are going to talk about rainwater harvesting, and I actually think that it will be an interesting conversation because in some states, in some regions, some cities, rain barrels and rainwater harvesting and keeping the rainwater, you know, there's a lot of different ways that we can harvest rainwater, right? Through cisterns, through rain barrels, those things. Sometimes some of them are illegal. They're not even for irrigation or watering a garden. So that came through on one of our topic ideas, and I think it's a good one. And so I'm going to put that together but I encourage all of you to look for those or to reach out to us and let us know if there's a topic or an idea you would like to hear about. You can submit it back right on that form, or of course reach out to us and we would be, you know, really happy to address that. I like it because Jen, Corey, and I aren't scrounging around trying to come up with ideas. So for topics. So we can do topics that you guys want to hear about. So anyway, going to start the call off the way I do just about every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country? Or anything that I can help you with? Any other professionals, you know, across the country, anything that we can help with? Anybody have anything?
Actually, I have a question.
Go, Stacy.
Best way to get rid of slime-reducing slime bacteria.
Lime bacteria?
Slime.
Slime, the pink stuff? Are you talking about the pink stuff that's in the bathrooms that, like, even on municipal water?
But that wasn't what we were talking about. We had a situation where we put in equipment. It worked great for the first 2 weeks, and then they started getting a smell. We did a bacteria test. It came back with like 440,000 parts per million slime bacteria.
Slime bacteria.
So that's what it said. So it was in the same test that does like sulfur-reducing bacteria, iron-reducing bacteria.
Slime bacteria. Interesting. Okay, so I can tell you I've never actually heard of slime bacteria. Has anybody else ever heard of slime bacteria?
No, never heard of that. Iron reducing bacteria, yes, but slime, no.
I just Google searched. Who used the term slime bacteria?
It was on the lab report.
Interesting, because I just Googled slime bacteria, and what I get is bacterial slime, but I'm not getting, there's nothing here, I mean, it didn't even come up as that's interesting.
Okay. I didn't see the report. It's one of the other sales reps that had the report.
Yeah.
So, and he been doing this for, you know, 25 years, so he may be referring, could have been sulfur reducing bacteria, but
Kelly, this is Tony, by the way. When I search that, I see some products that pop up for pond clear type stuff.
Yeah.
You put slime bacteria in water and you see a bunch of different products for, you know, pond clear type things. So I don't know.
Well, that's probably going to be, I wonder if they're regional searches, right? Because Tony, in your area, you're more likely to have pond systems, you know,
and
for water, and where I'm searching on Google right now, it's coming up with different products, and I'm in New York, so you type in slime in New York and you get all kinds of things. So you get to
on a search, basically it's I'm saying iron bacteria.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder, so was it a orange bacteria? Stacey, describe the bacteria if you could. Did it wear glasses? Did it have a toupee? What was the bacteria like?
Apparently it smelled really bad.
That's it. Okay, that could also mean it wore glasses and had a toupee.
Yes, yeah, it could.
Because those
it
guys
didn't bathe regularly. So it wasn't ideal, but it's like
okay. We
ended up pulling out the equipment and just, you know, refunding her money because she was not happy. And they did chlorinate the well, but it came back real quickly.
Well, I mean, so, you know, chlorinate, I mean, that could be bacteria in the well problem. Okay, so that's actually, now we're on to some feedback, some advice that we can offer that's valuable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you know when you're going out to a house, did they have equipment in the home before? Do you know?
Yeah, but it was not working. She had just bought the house.
I see. So it had been... Oh, so this is a new house, which means they probably would have been required to chlorinate the well before the purchase anyway, to do a coliform test or a bacteria test. That would have been required when they bought the house. And so certainly
there was no smell at the beginning.
Yeah, so they chlorinated the well, did the test, no smell, passed, came, you know, moved in, and if it comes back. So this is something, you know, that it is important, I think, to, in a situation like that, to not, I guess, burn all your bridges, you know. So make sure that when you're talking to people that they understand that what you're testing for is a snapshot in time. You know, that's, you know, on a new well in particular, and maybe this is not something that I've done on every single one, but maybe it's not a bad idea to do, you know, to kind of prep to... when you're going in and you're talking to those customers to kind of give them a heads up that, you know, when you're here, this is a snapshot. It's a new well. They've chlorinated. They've cleaned up the water and everything else. If you run into something else within the next six or, you know, the water can change first off seasonally. And secondly, you know, it's a well that they're not familiar with. You don't know the water, you know, things can happen. And so, you know, to prepare them for the possibility that additional issues could arise, you know, might be help alleviate. I mean, sometimes because customers, they don't like that. They, you know, they're going to blame that, unfortunately, on your equipment instead of saying, you know, recognizing that they've obviously got a bacteria problem in the well. And it doesn't matter what type, you know, what name brand is on the valve of that equipment. It's going to, they're going to continue to have problems unless they address the bacteria issue. So they're going to need something, you know, like a chemical injector to take care of that or a UV, you know, or something like that. But, you know,
and
that's,
she didn't
that's,
want to spend money on.
Yeah, that's exactly. So, good question. I've never heard of slime bacteria. So that's, you know, there's probably some other term. It seems odd to me that the laboratory would put that term on their.
And it could be the rep saying it, because this is a rep that goes back He's been doing this for like 25 years, and he came from a different area to us. So it could be his terminology.
Yeah.
But I can't, because this guy's normally pretty good with wells.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody else have any thoughts on that or a different question before we jump into our topic today? All right, so let's talk about presentation books. We talked about this about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. But things change. You know, things are different. We've got a few different people on the call. And so I thought we would go back and kind of readdress this topic again. So when I came in the business 23 years ago, it was not uncommon, and in fact, I've seen this for a lot of different types of sales companies, to have what they call their pitch book, right? That's that three-ring binder that had all these color pictures in it, and you were supposed to start. I remember going through and sitting through a class early on how to build, you know, first thing they told you is not to call it a pitch book. You call it a presentation book. So don't call it a pitch book. And they kind of walk you through how to build it. So the first things were you were supposed to put all of your credentials and any any classes, any certificates, any training that you've done at the beginning. And then you had pictures of your company and who was in the home and the trucks and the building and all of that. And then you kept flipping forward and you had pictures of the manufacturer, the primary manufacturer that you represented. And then you walked them through, the hydrologic cycle and had pictures of babies in suds and calcified faucets a woman drinking water looking like it's ecstasy, because she's, ooh, this water is so amazing. I love this water, and then maybe another one. There's a dog in there somewhere, a really cute, obviously a reconditioned, I think some people call them rescue dogs. I call them reconditioned dogs or used dogs. But there's one that's obviously been, a used dog because this family is responsible and they adopted a dog, right? They didn't go get like a brand new dog. They adopted a reconditioned dog, and there's a picture of it there looking all like happy that it's in a house with good water. And you flip through all of that stuff until you get to the equipment and there's soap, lots of soap talk and lots of pictures of soap in this book. And ideally in the training videos that you watch, you have the husband and wife. Kids are nowhere to be seen. Obviously, affluent husband and wife because they have a nice house with up-to-date appliances and kitchen, and they have so much time. They've won the lottery somewhere because they're neither of them. They have 2.5 hours to sit at the kitchen table and observe you going page by page by page by page through this presentation book. And they flip through to where at the end, it's like the last page, you're able to close it. And it's like, oh, and they go, yes, how can we pay you the money that you've just asked us for? And they are all happy. And that's the book, right? That's the presentation book. My question to you guys, and by the way, that changed a little bit when 4 or 5 years in, maybe a little less, when laptops were around and you could actually put that presentation in a digital form. It was essentially the same thing where you could, you just had you hit the next button and it cycled it through. And you had little videos that were on there that kind of did the work. It did the explanation for you on some of the features of the equipment and those sorts of things, which was actually kind of cool, but it was also, kind of that added one more thing. Now you had to carry in a laptop in with you know, that's the wheelbarrow sales appointment, right? You had your test kit and your laptop and your, you know, your briefcase and all that stuff that you're taking into the home. Are you guys using any type of presentation book? And if so, what are you putting in it? How do you use it? And what do you, you know, what works well for you? What do you never use? Are you using a paper one? Are you using it digital? Are you using a tablet? What are you using? Anybody? Anybody using one at all?
I use a binder.
You still use a binder? Okay.
I use a binder. I keep telling myself I'm going to go to the app presentation. I just haven't.
Okay. So what is in your binder, Stacy? What do you put in your binder?
Some of what's in my binder is the basic presentation from our company, the slides that I go over, which has like the hardness sheet, certifications, things like that.
So tell me about the hardness sheet. What's on the hardness sheet? Because that's an item that I think is a must, whether it's a digital or a regular, you know, the digital or binder form. So what? Tell me about that hardness sheet. What is that?
Well, I've got one that's got the 1 to 3 is considered soft, 3 to 7 is moderately hard.
Okay.
You know,
so you've got the WQA hardness scale, the WQA hardness scale.
It also has the TDS scale on it and some other general basic information on it. But then I also have, and this is actually what I like better, is it's a map of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
It shows the hardness in colors across the country.
Yeah.
And, of course,
yep.
It shows it being 15-plus in our area.
Right.
It's a map that I pulled off the Lowe's website.
Oh, okay.
And it also lists the 6 hardest areas in the country, Indianapolis, Phoenix. So for me and Indy, that's great because it shows, and it's not even our map, it's another company's map showing that one of the 6 hardest water areas in the country. Mm. So and with that, I can explain how a lot of our reason is because when the glaciers came down and dug out the Great Lakes, we're in the melt zone, so we got all that limestone, which is what causes our hard water.
Right.
So that part. Also go over, yes, there are a couple of referrals or recommendation letters. I don't have as many as I probably should, but I do have a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's like the soap test. Oh, there's also local articles on drinking water. And then I also have lab reports. I mean, the consumer confidence reports.
So do you go through, how do you do that? Do you set that thing in front of them? When do you open up your presentation book? At what point does it come out of your briefcase and when do you open it up?
So I typically, well, one, I carry a binder that's got a handle, so I just open that up because all my paperwork's in there. The sheets that I write down, their test results are in there. So I open that up and start going over that at the beginning to explain what I'm going to be, you know, testing over after we're talking and asking questions. So it's kind of out in front of me the whole time.
So you're prepping them using that sheet. So this is you're giving them, you're kind of prepping that and giving them an idea of the things that you're going to be going over, right?
Exactly.
And then do you have, when you're doing the water test, do you have a picture or a page that corresponds directly to the water test that you're doing?
I do. We have a page with a chart on it that shows the TDS chart, basically, and then it's got a place to put down hardness and all that stuff. And we circle the TDS area on the color chart where they're at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And then, so how much of your presentation book would you say you use on your average appointment?
Probably 20% of it.
Yeah. Okay. So how about anybody else? Anybody, Tony, are you still on?
Yes.
I'm curious, what do you do?
I use a hardness chart, WQA hardness chart. Soap flask is definitely on there. It correlates. There is something, I use the Maytag book in there. Don't go through the whole thing, but it's there as a reference. I do like the consumer water test. I usually try to pull that in the area that they are if it's city water.
Right, the consumer confidence report. Good. Okay.
And or even if it's not, I let them know that, when I'm looking at well water, that, hey, it's your responsibility, unlike these other places that have municipal water that is tested. But I let them know that it is their responsibility and that it's not up to anybody but them when we're dealing with well water. But I do show them pictures of the tests that I'm going to do before I do them.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I have in there? Honestly, I don't use my book every time. So, I get a feel for the customer and their time, and just depends. Sometimes the pitch book doesn't come out every single time, but it's there as a resource.
What book doesn't come out?
The presentation book.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's a, you can tell when how long how some of us have been in the business for a long time. It sometimes the things just hop out. Sorry, I put you on the spot there.
No, that's fine.
You were next, and I was coming to you next because you're actually building one of these for somebody.
I'm fully putting together a demonstration book. The owner of the company wanted me to put one together for the sales team. And so we sat down yesterday at our sales meeting, and what I did was I laminated all of the literature that they have on the equipment. I laminated all those sheets, and I'm going to put holes on there on each of those sheets. But I asked them, what is the best way that you'll use this? And one of the things that they liked was having the sheet so that when you open up a page, then you have kind of a comparison of, the least expensive model and the one that's a little bit higher. And then when you flip that page over, it's going to show the benefits and limitations side by side on each of those. So it's going to be it's almost a double duty of having those pages in there, but it's going to work for when they're flipping the pieces of paper over, the literature over. Also, we have a copy of the Frigidaire dishwasher owner's manual, and then another owner's manual that our installation manual that I just found is the tankless water heater. It talks about the different hardnesses or hardness in the water and water softener recommended at a certain point, which is over 4 grains of hardness. We also have, we'll have a dry erase pen or marker that we can, on that laminated piece of paper, write down the numbers. And so it'll be raw and then the treated water so that they're able to, we can write them down and then discuss, okay, well, you have this much iron, so this is a piece of equipment that I recommend, and just kind of go from there to be able to go back through those numbers again later on. And then we'll probably have a cost savings page in there also where they can work on those numbers. That's kind of what we have set up so far.
So that's what I liked a lot about the digital presentation is you could do the cost savings. There was the manufacturer that I represented when I was in sales. Actually, you could go in and talk about how much they spent on things and explain how much they could save, what percentage. And at the end, it popped out a recommendation for the system as well as the cost savings of having it versus what it cost to buy it. It was really, really nice. You can still do that. You can kind of build that picture With, you know, even without doing it digitally, you can do it manually. That's what people have done for years and years and years. So in the last 5 minutes, I have a couple suggestions here. However you're building your presentation book or tablet or basically your presentation, okay? First and foremost, and I think this is, if there's one takeaway from this whole call, is that I hope that it is that your presentation really needs to be customer centric. Now, it's interesting because I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth here. I think it's really critical, and we don't do this. A lot of companies don't do this anymore. They don't have them do this, but I think it's really important to learn that 2.5 hour presentation, to essentially memorize it, to sit down, to know it, to learn it, and to know what is being said on every page. So I think that long presentation that you see that manufacturers train people on, I think it's really important to watch that thing, to learn it, and maybe even be able to duplicate it. I don't think it's realistic that you do that in the home, if ever. Certainly, if it's going to happen, it's going to be a really, really, really rare occasion, because you just don't have people that that have the time to do that, okay? But knowing it, knowing how to use the tools doesn't necessarily mean you're going to use the tools on everyone, but it is really important that you know how to use the tools. So if you have that thing available, or if you've never seen one, seen a presentation like that, I encourage you to watch it. Watch it from beginning to end and learn it and duplicate some of it. And then through questions, when you're speaking to your customers, pictures are good. Pictures help explain this. It, you know, go back and think about what you knew or didn't know before you came into this industry. And there wasn't much. That's where your customers are now. They don't know. And so the pictures are going to help explain. They're going to help validate what you're doing. Tony, you said you're showing pictures of the test that you're going to be doing. Stacy, you said that too, you know. You have pictures of the test on there. That's awesome. It validates, you know, carrying things like you guys are saying, like the dishwasher owner's manuals. That validates the things that you're talking about. It makes it real and relevant to what those customers are using. So use that stuff. But most importantly, rather than sitting there and flipping through page by page by page and having this script that you have to go through, which makes your customers, you know, they're sitting there watching all the pretty pictures and watching you flip through and go through your script. And what they're thinking in the back of their mind is, how much is it going to be? How much is it going to be? You know, do I have to sit all the way through this thing, or can you just give me a price so I can make a decision? You know, a lot of times that's what they're thinking. And we've been trained that we have to go through this entire book or this entire digital presentation or whatever format we're using. I really believe it's important to be customer centric, to ask the customers what problems are they experiencing? What do they have? How can you help? Why are you there? And then based on the answers to your questions and the water analysis results, now you can go, if you know your book or your digital presentation inside and out, you can go directly to those pages. Instead of showing five brochures on the product, show the one or two pieces of equipment that is going to address their specific concern. And that should be a lot easier to do. It's going to go a lot faster too, a lot more efficiently. If you spend more time asking them which pages they need or want to see, even if they don't know what those pages look like yet, they've told you what their concerns are, what their problems are. The water test has told you what their concerns or problems are. Now you know exactly which pages you need to go to demonstrate the solutions that you have to offer. Any final comments or thoughts on this?
I 100% agree with that. You got to base it on what your customer wants or needs, but learning the pitch verbatim, I think is a huge advantage. So you know where to go and you know what to do. So they're not throwing you off guard.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They, you know, Stacy, you talked about the reference letter book. I've got a book, you know, I've talked about this before too, a binder that has all the reference letters that I had. And some of them talked about the noise the equipment made. They talked about the taste of the water. So when a customer asks a question, you know, so I wonder if my pets will drink this water. I flipped to the letter where the customer said that their dog attacked the bowl of water as if it were, you know, treats or, you know, the noise or they were concerned about drilling in the granite countertops. I had letters that were custom. I said, you know, I could answer that all day long. Let me show you what one of my customers said about that in this letter they wrote me, you know. So you, instead of sitting there having them read every reference letter, you know what's in there and where it's at, and you can go to it and point to it. So, all right, any final thoughts, comments?
Super quick question for both Stacy and Tony, since both of you spoke on this. Stacy, you okay. Still use this demonstration, this presentation book. How long have you been in the industry?
It'll be 7 years next month.
Okay. And Tony, how long have you been in the industry?
23
years.
Okay. Perfect.
So, I'm sorry,
okay.
You said 23. I thought it was 72.
I ask that because for those who have just joined the industry within the last few years, I would like them to recognize that even the veterans are, you know, they're still using this. They still believe in the knowing the whole demonstration, the whole presentation, and just taking out the tools that you need. So thank you so much, Stacy and Tony, for helping out.
Yep. You bet. All right, guys, thank you so much. Everybody, we will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe. Thanks.
You too.
Take care.
You.